State Senator Charles Schwertner joins us. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Well, okay. You guys are guys and gals are pretty busy over there now, aren't you?
Yes, sir. We are.
Let's start first of all with passing out of the Senate was the open carry. I'd like to get your how you voted on that and also your comments on it.
Well, I was strongly supportive of Senate Bill 17, the open carry legislation. You know, for 25 years, we've had individuals carry in a concealed manner, and the only thing this bill did was allow those individuals to carry in an open manner. You know, it doesn't expand who can buy a gun or where you can take that gun. It just allows a CHL holder to carry either in a concealed manner or an open manner.
Also, one of the bills, I think your bill, having to do with nursing homes, the three-strike rule, that came out of committee?
It did, yes. It'll be going to the full Senate floor probably next week. And, you know, I think it's a very important bill that is aimed at protecting some of our most vulnerable citizens that reside in nursing homes. That's one of the focuses I have during this session is protecting those that cannot help themselves, whether they're children in CPS or seniors in nursing homes.
And we'll talk about that CPS situation in just a minute because I know Health and Human Services and the Sunset Commission had a look at that yesterday. But also let's touch on Ebola for just a moment. Again, it gets off the front pages, it gets off the lead stories on the news, on television and radio, but it's still just as dangerous as it always was.
That's correct. And, you know, it is off the front pages, it's in the back of minds now, but to me it's still an important issue that the state does need to take steps to address. You know, a deadly and serious infectious disease can strike at any time, and I think Texas does need to lead the way in being prepared for the next serious outbreak, and I think we can show the rest of the nation and other states how to respond in a timely fashion. We were unfortunately the state that had the first case of Ebola in the United States, and I think we responded well, but there were certainly deficiencies that I think can be strengthened. And the legislation that was passed out of committee that I'm authoring will be on the Senate floor, and I think it does long-term prepare Texas better regarding infectious disease.
State Senator Charles Schwertner joining us this morning. Okay, let's talk budget. Obviously, the House wants to have a budget-cutting plan. The Senate does, too. Your plan came out on Tuesday, and as I read it, the average homeowner would save about $200 a year. Now, where the cuts come are a little bit different, though, because House seems to like cutting the state sales tax more than the property tax, and you, I know, have a proposal that you want to certainly focus on lower business taxes. Everybody wants to have their taxes cut, but, you know, the optics of it, the regular homeowner would see a cut in their tax bill, and maybe they like that more, and they don't see the business owners who would get the tax break. So how do you balance this out so that everybody's going to be happy?
Well, I think I think the voters and the leaders campaigned, and I think the voters spoke regarding tax relief, and I think it's important that we have tax relief this session. I'd like to see it in property tax relief and business tax relief. You know, our property taxes are high compared to other states. I believe the need for property tax relief as well as appraisal reform is paramount. In reference to the business tax, I believe the small businesses need to have that tax relief. They're the job creators, and the bill I filed would raise the exemption from $1 million to $4 million regarding the franchise tax before the franchise tax were to be imposed on a business. I think those are pro-growth and pro-economy measures that I'd like to see enacted. We continue to have that discussion, and we'll have to find some sort of path forward with the House.
An interesting plan, the property tax reduction would change the calculation of the homestead exemption from a dollar amount to 25% of the state's home median market value.
That's right. That
to be an interesting concept that obviously that number would then change each session.
Yeah, it would grow as median values of homes in Texas increase as well. So it wouldn't be stagnant. Right now we have a stagnant exemption for homeowners at $15,000. And at 25% of the median valuation of the homes, it would be somewhere around $32,000. So that's a significant increase for the exemption, and again, it would change as the valuations across Texas, the median valuations, changed.
Of course, you're chairman of Health and Human Services, and earlier this session, if I'm not mistaken, you came up with the idea of creating basically a mega agency where you would put a lot of services under one umbrella. I think yesterday Senate panel discussed maybe slowing down on that progress a little bit. Would you tell me what they did that's different from what you proposed?
Right. Well, the realignment and consolidation strategy was one that came out of the Sunset process, and I am chair of the Health and Human Services, but I also serve on Sunset. There's been a lot of discussion about the best way to move forward regarding our health agencies. They're very complicated, and it's a very costly area of our budget. Now, it's 55,000 employees across all the various agencies, and there's discussion of whether or not a more graduated approach with some realignment and reorganization at the current time, with potentially rolling in DFPS, which includes our CPS system, and the Department of State Health Services at a later time might be the best way forward. It is still a work in progress. It is an area we certainly need to get right because it is a very important area for those citizens that we serve, but also a very important area from the amount of appropriations that go to those agencies.
The chairman seemed to indicate about 2019 was when you wanted to look at being able to put all this together?
Well, rolling the other two in as far as Department of State Health Services and the Department of Family and Protective Services. But moving forward currently with the consolidation and reorganization of DADS, DARS, and HHSC.
Now, you're also on the State Affairs Committee, and I believe that y'all voted out of committee the moving the Public Integrity Unit out from under the Travis County DA's office. How did you vote on that, and tell me your reason for it?
I'm strongly supportive of that measure as well. You know, right now, the Public Integrity Unit is controlled by one district attorney in one county out of 254 counties. I think it's unfortunate that it's controlled by an office holder who has displayed such a lack of integrity to the public. And I think the Public Integrity Unit should be in a statewide agency, and the most logical one is the Attorney General's office.
Certainly. Now, what's going to happen between, well, I guess a lot's going to happen, but what's high on the calendar for you between now and when we visit next week?
Well, we continue to move forward with some of the sunset bills. I have one of them up on the floor of the Senate today called the Clarification Bill. We're finishing up the budgeting process. I'm the chairman of the work group regarding the health agencies, and in that capacity, we're having to find the best way forward to spend over $70 billion regarding our health agencies. We have a lot of bills. It's past the 60th day, so regular bills are now being heard on the floor. So it's an extremely busy time right now.
It certainly is. Give us a little background on the clarification bill.
Clarification bill is setting the groundwork for the other sunset bills. We have a lot of archaic and outdated and basically just wrong statute currently in place, and we need to clean up the codes and the various portions of the law to set the groundwork to where we can build upon it the other sunset bills that are to come.
Finally, just because we finished talking to Congressman Flores just a few moments ago, and what they're talking about there is the doc fix in the federal legislation.
SGR doc fix?
Exactly.
Right.
And of course, that impacts CHIPS as well, and with more kids on CHIPS in Texas than any place else. What sense are you getting out of Washington as to what's going to come out of that?
Well, I haven't followed. You know, the SGR has been a big issue for now. It's been 7 or 8 years. They continue to kind of do patches of it every so many months and every budgetary cycle. It's a complex issue. It's very costly. I have heard that they have some sort of compromise with it. I don't know the specifics of it, but the bottom line with national healthcare reform, it took a bad turn in 2010 with the Affordable Care Act, which added layers of complexity and cost and confusion and really a lack of confidence for Washington to solve the big healthcare challenges of our nation. I'm happy that there might be some forward progress regarding the SGR, but it's only a small portion of the need for significant health care reform at the national level.
Sure. Well, I just wanted to get your input because it looks like maybe they're coming to some convergence bipartisan. Obviously, your physician and your state senator, I thought that would be the insight would be helpful. Thanks for the time this morning.
You bet. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank
Have
you.
A good
day. Yeah, you too. That's State Senator Charles Schwertner. He joins us every week, and you can hear his interview archived on our website as well at WTAW.com.